Hello and welcome to the Sticks and Stakes Cricket Podcast. The sun is shining, the grass is freshly cut, and we're back from a winter hiatus for a new series. I'm delighted to say I'm joined again by county enthusiasts Alex Crabb and Johnny Hilliard as we discuss all the stories you need to know about in the county championship this year. As well as predicting this year's county champions, we'll be calling out some of the lesser heard names to look out for in the lead up to the Ashes and answering hard-hitting questions like just who is the best team in the West Country? Should Ben Foulkes give up on his wicketkeeping to protect his back? And what is a decent average for a county championship number five? So, without further ado, gentlemen, let's play.
Hey chaps, how are we doing?
Right.
County cricket started last week. How are we feeling about it? Alex Crabb, Somerset are still in the division. Feeling confident you'll stay there for another year?
Fresh starts. This is always nice after last year's debacle. So, yeah, we had a bit of a scratchy start to the season, but we got away with a draw. And it looks like we're probably going to get a draw up at Trent Bridge as well. So we just need to, try and finish off knots if we can. We're 28 for two, though. So it's not great face of their 256 first inning score, but we'll see. We made a couple of changes to the team. Cameron Bancroft's come in. He's absolutely fucking useless. Mm. And also, we've signed the Saffa from Kent. He's actually scored a triple ton.
Durham. Dixon.
Yeah. No, it's from Kent, isn't it?
No. But
yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's from Durham, isn't it?
Good to know you're following a keen eye on the new signings. They're obviously, I can see you typing that.
Are you sure he hasn't played for Kent, mate?
Definitely not. How do you feel about having like some non-Somerset-born players in the top four?
Well, the call's very much the West Country through and through, which is very important, I think, for many reasons in a side. But in comparison, not. I haven't got a single player who was born in the county or came up through the academy. You know, they're the team that signed Peter Trago off us, aged 45. Knotts are a disgrace.
Is he there this year?
I think he's retired eventually. I think he's now retired.
Yeah. Is Samit Patel Knotts player? Or where's he from?
Yeah, he's a Knotts.
He's been signed by a Cornish team in the Prem down here, actually. They've got Jake Libby, Patel, and Van der Merde, Callington. They'd probably give Somerset a decent game, actually.
West Country's best side by that sound of things.
We've dived straight into sort of the latest Somerset scores. I guess like sort of the point will be a bit of a preview of the county season. So Crabby, still the same old problems at Somerset's top order by the sounds of it. We've got Lamb
Dixon
hitting the batting.
He's opening with Dixon, who I'm just reading now, did play for Kent. Thank you very much, Fuxi. He went to Durham for a year after, but he scored his triple ton. With Joe Denley at the crease in a game where they scored over 700. So it was a bit of a belter, that wicket. He doesn't look like he's going to score anywhere near that this season for Somerset, judging by the way he started. But it's good. We've got a lot of bowlers. We're very bowler heavy. We've got Henry coming, the Kiwi, and also we've got Siddle. And that's it really for overseas. Well, Bancroft we've got for four games. So we've only got him for two more games after this one. So we haven't recruited that well, I don't think.
It's an interesting one. You bring up Bancroft and the Aussies over here as well. We picked that one up. Johnny, obviously, we've got Smith going to Somerset. Marcus Harris still actually scoring a lot of runs.
I feel quite strongly about this, actually. I don't understand, given that the ECB are giving the counties most of their funding and that's watered down a little more than I would like. And we've obviously talked about the fact that there's a lot of probably too many teams in the system that turkeys won't work at Christmas. But I don't understand, given that it's being centrally funded and we are in every other way geared up towards the England team with central contracts and stuff, yet we're still paying these clubs to give the Aussies a warm-up, give Steve Smith a nice gentle warm-up for the Ashes in English conditions. I don't understand that at all, personally.
It's mad, isn't it?
Don't get me wrong, I think it's wonderful that he's coming and young players at Sussex can learn off him, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. At the end, after the Ashes, he can have a couple of wonderful months, August and September. Mm-hmm. I do not get that.
It'd be great to see him in the county championship, not the 100 in August after the season finishes, wouldn't it? Just sort of honing his sort of red
ball. It would be the the Pro 40 or whatever it's called, the second tier reserve cricket, basically.
I think valid point. We have a quick England preview for the Ashes now that we're talking about it before we go back into the county game. Anyone to watch out for?
Well, Lamonby's on his third season now, and he's Somerset, and I keep banging the drum, but I think he's going to play his natural way this year. He was overcoached last season, which is why I kept nicking it outside the off stump. So I'm expecting 1,000+ runs from Lamonby.
He's already a good 40, day. 40, 45 runs or so on the way there.
Yeah.
He's got a nice little knot out, little red inker in the rain affected draw last week. So
the talent's spot. There. The talent's there. He's got the ability. He just needs to knuckle down now. And maybe Basball's the way. Just play his natural way and trying to impress the selectors that way. But he can definitely do it.
That is probably one of the spots that's free, isn't it? I mean, I actually did hear on the Following On Cricket podcast, they were backing Lamonby as well, which it just appalled me, to be honest. It was shocking that they couldn't.
They know what they're talking about.
Clearly. There's a lot of idiots doing cricket podcasts these days, folks. A lot of idiots out there just sitting in their bedrooms recording over Zoom.
Yeah.
Well, when was the last, quick question of you, Chats, when was the last time that Hampshire produced a homegrown player to play for England?
Sorry, I thought I just got a clip of a podcast we did last 18 months ago. Just came through.
Yeah. I mean, James Vince will be the one.
He's Sussex, isn't he?
Liam Dawson.
James Vince has only ever played for Hampshire, mate.
No, he's born in
Dawson
Sussex.
As well, yeah.
Yeah, that's two for you, just off the bat.
You know, some good young players coming through. Fletcher Middleton, Tom Press.
Fletcher Middleton looks a player, actually.
Probably as you're constantly reminded, but apparently need it again. There are no bonus points for homegrown players in the league. So.
Well, there should be. Genuinely should be. And you should get more money as well when your players, you know, bugger off for most of the season like ours do when they're playing international cricket.
Well, you do get more money because you basically don't need to pay them to play because they get...
Yeah, but they can only play a couple of games anyway. So what's the point? We don't get enough of an incentive. That's what I'm saying. That's why...
No, you're right.
Seems like Notts just milk the system and they just get people in. They've got the money to.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, you're better off having... I mean, you mentioned Hampshire. You know, you look at it, Keith Barker, James Vince, Ben Brown, players who are not... in the England setup, not going to be in the England setup, but are as good as it gets over the last, say, 3-4 years on the county circuit. You'd far rather, from a pure county perspective, if you're a director of cricket, have those guys than have, you know, Joss Butler, Jimmy Anderson, and, you know, Joe Root. You know, which is mad, but that's just the game, unfortunately.
The way it is.
Abbas is great for you as well. Have you got him for the whole season as well?
Yeah.
That's incredible. That's like the perfect signing you can make.
They don't, you know, yeah, for some reason they don't pick him for Pakistan, do they? They've gone away from it. Even when they had so many out injured in the winter, they still didn't go back to Mohammed Abbas. But
he's getting on a bit. They do have a real pool of quality players seam bowling for Pakistan. So maybe they just want to build for the future.
Yeah.
They just, you know, why pick a guy in his 30s who isn't going to contribute, you know, medium to long term.
Yeah.
But it is odd because he's certainly good enough to get on that side, that's for sure.
Yeah. So back to the England question. Obviously Lamonby is a long shot to replace Crawley at the top of the order. Maybe they could pick someone who scores runs in the county championship again. That seemed to work quite well nicely with Harry Brook, Ben Compton, match winning ton last week, or even got Sam Hain. If you want to go sort of down the order, 2 tons in 2 weeks.
Yeah, Keaton Jennings scored a lot of runs last summer as well. Probably deserves another go.
Nice.
You'd certainly say at the top of the order there's the potential for a replacement there. Crawley's, I mean, it feels like he's been living on borrowed time for forever, but they stick with him, which is odd, personally. But...
Does Ben Compton fit the mould for Brendan McCullum and Ben Stokes-style cricket there? Because he's slow even by Sibley standards, Compton's probably a bit of a slow scorer as well.
No, yeah, he's definitely not the mould of Basball.
I just think if he keeps scoring at the level that he did last year, and I do think when people talk about his first class average and then conveniently forget that a significant percentage of those games were played in Zimbabwe. So he's had 1 year of good cricket. Mm. But if he has another one, surely if we get to say, you know, May, June, whenever the Ireland test is, end of May, beginning of June, and he's there, you know, and he's already, he's averaging 70 and has got another three or four tons this season, it's going to be hard to ignore him. Especially if Crawley continues to struggle, albeit he did have a reasonable game first time round, a much lauded 90 or something, which everyone got really overexcited about.
Amazing press coverage that the 90 got in the first innings compared to Ben Compton's 140 got out in the second to win the game when Crawley was cleaning up for not many.
Astonishing. Yeah.
And also Sam Robson's another one's name gets mentioned a lot, but he's been part of the Middlesex top three. He's been knocked over three times for next to nothing so far. And it's been a bit of a... It really actually goes to show, I think, just the difference in class between Division One and the Butchers and Bakers League we're seeing already.
Yeah, they're crap, Middlesex. They really need to get some batsmen. I thought Somerset had a bat poor top order. Middlesex is shocking.
Sort of ex-international players, weren't they?
Robson's had his go. Come on, we can do better than Robson.
Stoneman, and
he's got to be quite old by now, Robson, as well. I don't know exactly. He must be mid-30s by now.
Bedingham's been doing very well. Have you guys been keeping on in terms of him? Because he averages 50 as well in first-class cricket. He's got an astonishing record.
He's also from South Africa.
It never used to be a problem. But I don't know what the visa situation is with Bedingham.
He's confirmed that he is trying to play cricket for South Africa.
Oh, is he? You think they took him? Yeah.
They should.
For sure, he's had a good season. That was also another feature. My prep for this was essentially listening to the Following On pod. And you have Steve Harmison, who only picks players from Durham coming through. So I think Brian...
So he likes Bedingham, does he?
Bedingham or someone else. Yeah, Brydon Cass, he was mainly going on. He mainly picks fast bowlers from Durham. I should specify.
What's happened to his chavvy mate Potts? Is he doing well?
Potts, is it a couple of wickets, I think, to start the season?
Division two, mate, doesn't count.
Div two. Donkey league, isn't it?
Although going the other way, it was interesting to see Yorkshire playing Leicestershire, who I don't think won a game last year. And that was probably the story of the week, wasn't it? Leicestershire chased down 390 on the final day to beat Yorkshire.
Anyway, Rian Ahmed got some runs in the first innings as well, which is interesting. Going back to the England question.
85, yeah.
Which?
Did well. Three wickets in Yorkshire's first innings.
Be interesting to see whether, you know, obviously we touched on the opening slots for potential the England team. I think the middle order probably looks after itself because everyone's done so well. The key is, the interesting areas for me anyway, are obviously who gets the nod as the spinner, which is, I'd say, 50-50, and then the number seven come keeper slot, which with Bairstow coming back, but Ben Fuchs in great form as well. So that'd be an interesting one.
Who would you give the spinner slot to, Johnny?
Ahmed. I'll give it to Ahmed.
No way.
I think Leach is average. So let's give the young guy got 5 for on debut. Can bat a bit. He's the future. Let's dice personally.
Let's toss him to the Aussies.
Throw him to the Wolves.
That's one way to ruin his career, isn't it? Throw him in the ashes. He went at 6 and over against Yorkshire. I mean, that's shocking. He's got no control at all.
I mean,
mate.
It's also a game where a team chased down nearly 400 in the fourth inning. So I mean, you can't really blame a spinner for going for some.
It was another game that really just puts pay to this notion of, you know, God, you can't bat in April. It's like just seen bowlers, isn't it? You know, 500 plays, 400 plays, something declared, plays chase for 390. Well, I suppose, was it great? No, it wasn't. It wasn't great. It was Headingley, wasn't it? Crikey. Yeah, another magical last day at Headingley. That's, I wonder how many people watched that one. A few of the members.
Hopefully the man and his dog both enjoyed it.
And then, yeah, Fakes versus Bairstow. He's not actually returned yet as young Johnny, has he? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. Another couple of weeks.
Fakes has done well, though. He's had a good start to the season. Got a ton. He's second in the run scoring list in the first in the county championship, Div 1 after Sam Hain.
He's missed. He's missing the current game though, against Hants with a back complaint. So not serious, they say.
He's too tall to be a keeper. I don't know why he's a wicketkeeper. He's like 6'3", 6'4".
What would you advise? Just getting a height reduction.
I'd advise he becomes a bowler. I don't know. He shouldn't be wicketkeeping or be in the slips.
Yeah.
People like Graham Hick was a very good slipper. He was very tall. He didn't mess around wicketkeeping.
No.
And just take some pressure off Bairstow and some of the other guys. Because we've got a lot of keepers. It's not a problem.
Mm.
And he can't score anyway. He scores the odd, you know, he holds up an end and scores the odd 30, 40, not outs.
So basically your recommendation is that he becomes a solid county cricket batsman, specialist batsman, who can also go in the slips rather than slipper. Be an international wicketkeeper.
Well, we all know how valuable a good slipper can be. Look at Mark Waugh. And England have had problems in the slip, Corden. So it could, you know, if he does well in county cricket, just focusing on his batting. He's not going to play for England just as a batsman, is he?
Unlikely.
In that middle.
But he's going to suffer back problems. That's what I'm saying. He's not going to have a long career. He's not going to be like Jack Russell, you know, played into his late 30s. Or like,
are you aware of any other matches he's missed, bar this current one, where he has I understand, according to the media, a very minor back injury, bit of stiffness. Are you aware of any other, which is probably, by the way, as a result of batting for quite a long time in the last match rather than his wicketkeeping. Are you aware of any other games?
Yeah, he suffered from issues. He suffered from a stiff back on the 25th of June last year when we played New Zealand, and he missed the third day of the final test.
He did miss a test.
Fair play.
Stuck on that one, Hilliard.
Yeah, it's a recurrence of a back injury. Actually, that's the real story.
His career days are probably numbered then, in which case, I imagine.
The investigative journalism of Alex Crabb lays stone unturned.
I'm very glad I managed to. That came top of the Google search as I did.
So he's missed about 4 days of cricket in his career with a back injury.
But, I think it's probably fair to say, Johnny, though, it would be in Hampshire's advantage if Ben Fakes would play for England this year. It feels like Hampshire, Surrey, that was the top. Were they top two last year?
Surrey won. Hampshire won the most amount of games. They just lost a few too many as well. And tellingly lost against Surrey.
It's irrelevant, isn't it? How many games you win?
Well, I'd say it's a relevant metric for how good a side is.
And in the fact that they get, therefore, you know, points and stuff towards finishing towards the top part.
It depends what you're after. Or you could, you know, focus on being a Div 1 side, constantly pushing for the championship and producing, you know, a lot of international players, some of the best players in the world, like Joss Butler, Jack Leach, Craig Overton, Marcus Jasgothic, these sort of players. So, you know, depends what you want, if you want to give something back to the game or not.
Yeah, four players over a period of 3 decades there. What about the title race though this year? Surrey, Hampshire, clearly some of the favourites. Anyone else? Anyone else catching your eye, Johnny?
I think it's hard to look beyond those two. Essex will probably be thereabouts, but not quite. They, like Hampshire, will benefit from a lack of England players, but some very high-quality county players. Lancashire could be. They'll be in the mix, but I kind of feel Hampshire and Surrey are probably your strongest two.
Fascinating game there between Lancashire and Essex, actually. Evenly poised at the moment. But yeah, might be a good third place shootout. Lancashire are one of those sides that seem to be there or thereabouts every year.
They do lose more games to, historically, lose more games to weather than anyone else, which I think it is grim up north, as they say.
Mm. Fewer points this year for the draw, which may play into teams like Hampshire's favour, actually.
I don't know if that would have, what impact that would have had last year, where, as I mentioned, Hampshire won the most, but also lost too many to be champions. But for the likes of Surrey, that could be an issue when that oval turned into a road later in the year.
Crabby.
I'm really not really impressed with this Hampshire side, just looking at it on paper. Orgon and Middleton opening. It's probably the worst opening partnership in Div 1, I'd say. And you probably wouldn't disagree with me, either of you, when it comes
Middleton
to that.
Averages over 50 in his career.
And scored.
How many games has he played?
He scored a ton against the Sri Lanka 11 last year, actually. It was a surprise he didn't play more last year, because they did have problems at the top of the order, Hampshire.
How many games has he played?
Oh, he's played
I think he's currently playing his third.
Yeah.
But he did well against Notts.
Does it all.
In a low scoring, to get 250s in a low scoring game is a pretty impressive start.
And he looked good against Surrey as well. He's a bit unfortunate there. He's a real find, I think.
High hopes, but yeah, top of the order is obviously Hampshire's weakness.
Yeah, it's Dross. And then you've got Dawson coming in at 5. He shouldn't be anywhere near the top. You know, he should be batting at 9 or 10. 5 should be, if you've got your best batsman coming in at 4, and 5 should be, you know, the next best, arguably. And you've got Liam Dawson.
What sort of average would you expect a number 5 to have in the county game?
Well, the current, none of the county players average very highly anymore, but...
It'd be nice to have a Harry Brook, wouldn't it?
Yeah, in today's game.
Today's game, I mean, 38 pushing 40.
How many teams do you think have got number 5 averaging 38 pushing 40? I mean, Surrey probably do. But
yeah, Surrey probably do. Langston, Bohannon, does he bat 5?
He'd be higher.
Why? What does he? What does he average?
He averages 33 in first class cricket. And don't forget the guy coming in at number 6 averages over 40 and Ben Brown. But obviously, they obviously prefer Dawson at 5 and Brown at 6. So I wouldn't, you know, put it this way: if your 5 and 6 have a combined average of 43 and a bit, you'd be happy with that, wouldn't you? 73 and a bit in the aggregate. That's not bad, is it?
I think it's all right for a side, you know, just staying in the league, but it's not going to win you the county championship with those sort of stats, is it? He's only scored 11 hundreds as well, nearly 200 games.
I'd say it's possibly a weakness in that Hampshire seem to me, they're always sort of a bowler. They've got one too many bowlers and one too few batsmen, potentially. They have a strong side of all-rounders, don't they? In Dawson, Holland, you know, you could even
argue Barker, Fuller, Orgon.
Yeah, Orgon. They all bowl. They should probably have like 9 bowlers and 8 bowlers plus a keeper. So it's it's the argument. But there's also a question of injuries. Like, actually, I don't know. They haven't really got much backup in the batting department, Hampshire. It would be, I would imagine, an Ernie Donald and Tom Prest, a couple of youngsters, really, if Gubbins or Vince or anyone else in that top 5 was injured or lost form.
Yeah, it was odd for me that they didn't try and sign a batsman over the winter, especially at the top of the order. Maybe, I mean, Fletcher Middleton's obviously come in, and they're clearly giving him a go. He's done all right so far. Maybe they think he's going to make it. Hopefully he can. Prest obviously is coming through. It's only that they think those guys are going to come through and be good enough is the only explanation for me that they didn't go and sign another.
Maybe taking a leaf out of Somerset's book and producing a load of homegrown young players, giving them an opportunity. It's not good to see. Crabby, who are you picking for the title?
I think Somerset will be there and thereabouts at the end of the season. I don't think we're going to win it, but we'll probably be the best hope we've got is being the bridesmaids like we used to always be. Well, for about 4 seasons out of 5. I'd like to see Kent do quite well, but realistically, it's going to be, I think, Lancashire or Essex.
Lancashire?
Yeah, I see Surrey out there.
No, I don't. No. I don't see Surrey up there this year. They've got Sibley and Burns opening for them. Any side with those two openers is doomed to fail.
Two openers averaging over 40.
Very proven in the county game. Yeah. Pate Patel, Jamie Smith. Not many runs.
Pate for the first half, averaging 70 or whatever he does in county cricket.
You guys were sort of on about Hampshire not signing any batsmen, but there's not that many batsmen, you know, decent batsmen out there that you can actually. Somerset did well to get Cola Cadmore. I would say that he could be a decent signing.
Excellent signing, I agree.
Yeah, Hepburn's mate, isn't he? He was involved in the old WhatsApp group. But we won't get into that now.
Very hot on these things, Curry.
Yeah, I'm just up to date with social media and stuff.
The Instagram impresario.
Always on TikTok, aren't you?
Yeah, and Bebo. All of them.
What about, should we end with some ones to watch? How about that? Who are we, any players that have flown under the radar, players to watch out for this season? I think we should make some rules around they can't have already played for England, or ideally mentioned before, like our friend Tom Lamonby at the top of the order for Somerset.
Hilliard, I'll let you go first.
Oh, I think there's obviously some good players on the list. I mean, you know, Sam Cook at Essex.
We can take a minute. I can cut this bit out. It's fine.
Yeah. No, keep it in. It's golden.
Sam Cook at Essex. He's a very good player.
I've never heard you mention that before. Just seems to be reading it.
We're doing players that. You haven't mentioned before, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
I'm trying to find the name of a player who played against Somerset last year for Gloucester. He was on loan at Gloucester from Warwickshire, and he looked unbelievable. I can't remember his name.
Just looking through this Yorkshire-Leicestershire scorecard and talking about batters at five and issues there, they've got two pretty decent number fives, haven't they? Leicester, Peter Hanscom scored a ton at five, and then Shai Hope is Yorkshire's overseas player. So maybe, yeah, a lack of number fives in the county game at the moment being filled by overseas players.
Who are you backing for El Clasico, Fuxi?
Are we talking about Surrey Hampshire here? Or what's
no, Leicester playing Derby at the moment, aren't they?
Leicester Derby. Yeah, you'd hope Mickey Arthur's Derby. They missed out narrowly on promotion, didn't they, last year? I think they're very upset about it. So that feels like a must-win game for them. I don't think they've been off to the best start, and they've only taken two wickets at Leicester on day one, haven't they? And they got stuffed by Worcester in the first game. So you wonder how long he'll hang around for that for. Leicestershire look like they've got that win under their belt, so maybe they'll do a Notts after Notts two years without a county win, and then got themselves promoted. Who knows? Maybe we'll see that this year.
Yeah, I've got my player. He's called Jacob Bethel. He plays for Warwickshire and he's only 19. He looks bloody good. He was on loan for Gloucester last year for a couple of games, and he looks really good. He was born in Barbados as well, so he's got that little bit of flair about him. But he was by far Gloucester's best player when they played Somerset in the County Championship last season.
Very good. Thanks, Alex. Keep an eye out.
That's a genuine one, not like Hilliard's just reading off a...
He's looking down the avenue.
I tell you who I am quite looking forward to watching. And it's a guy who made big waves in the 100 a couple of years ago, but hasn't quite come through, but I think he will, is Benjamin, the young Warwickshire middle order player.
Yes.
He's a bit saffer. It's not the most original of answers, but it would be interesting to see, especially with Basball, etc. Can he make that step up?
Yeah, fair one. At the risk of breaking my own rule, because I think I have mentioned him before, but Unearning Donald, I still believe, has got a breakthrough season in him for Hampshire. They're going to have to drop one in the top five, but that shouldn't be too difficult given they've been bowled out cheaply three times already this season. I think Felix Organ's got to go once Dawson can bowl. So I think he's got it in him. He's a Basball-style player, a bit like Benjamin, I think, there. He's got a runnable double ton, I think, on his... when he was like a breakthrough game. Or the other one, I think, is probably Jamie Smith at Surrey. I think he was name checked by Ben Stokes or Baz McCullum the other day. I think he scored a very quick ton for the Lions recently as well. So he could well be the next sort of cab off the rank, if you like, for England. That's it, really. I think the rest of it is all the old stalwarts. And it's sort of who's going to take up Darren Stevens' mantle as the 45-year-old tearing it up in Div 1. Maybe it's Gareth Berg. Who else is around?
There's no Mark Keenan. Keith Barker,
yeah, exactly. But last chance, Celine, for Hampshire's sort of pace attack?
You can't help but think that they possibly peaked last year, really. That was really their chance. Surrey were just excellent last year in Hampshire. Blew a couple of big games. they're going to have to rebuild at some point. Obviously, two of those three with Abbott and Abbas are overseas players, which that is relatively easily replaced. But albeit, are you going to get two blokes that will hang around for the entire season like those guys will? That's very hard to achieve.
Particularly with, I might just throw in there, the new competition in America. Have you heard of this, Johnny? I should share this with you, Krabby. Master League Cricket?
The MLS? Major League Cricket
in the US, which is now going to take place right in the clash with the English summer. And I think it sounds like it's here to stay. I heard Liam Plunkett promoting it the other day. Not sure what he was doing out there. But you've got a lot of the Saffers, I think, are out there playing. So it's just yet another competition, one of these T20 leagues that are going to be competing for some of your best overseas players at the time of the Cancer Championship.
Surely there isn't the money in that tournament just yet to pull people out of the Cancer Championship.
Jason Roy was offered a big package. Did you see that? But that was the draw away from the 100 because it's coincides with the 100.
Is that right?
Yeah, Jason Roy was offered a huge amount of money. He was offered $300,000.
Oh, if you look at the draft. Bloody hell.
To play in July. So the money's there. There's a huge amount of Indian players as well.
Oh, just look at it. No, it's fixed. It's fixed salaries, mate. $800,000 on overseas and $300,000 on US. But that's US dollars. And that is in the aggregate. The first round picks go for $75,000.
Have they picked
players? Which is decent, but it's less than 100. That's according to their Wikipedia page.
Aaron Finch is going over to play. Well, look at it. And that is just about the only name I recognise, to be fair. Say, no. Oh, we've got Quinton de Kock, Mitchell Marsh, Norkia.
Quinton de Kock?
Aaron Finch, Stoinis, Corey Anderson, Plunkett. And I think Team Texas are in real trouble. Well, at least I don't recognise any of their...
Mitchell Marsh is there as well.
Yeah. Say
they've done quite well then their inaugural season.
I think that, and it doesn't clash with that. It is Cancer Championship. It's 13th of July, it's the 30th of July.
It's the blast, isn't it?
It will be a bit of the blast and a bit of the championship.
The rounders. When does the rounders start?
The runnable rounders is in August, I'm pretty sure.
August.
To be fair, probably quite fun to go and play for the Texas Super Kings.
Yeah.
Or the San Francisco Unicorns.
Bit of travel, isn't it? A bit of travel there to go and play a T20 game in fucking San Francisco if you're in...
Yeah, then back to Washington the next game and then over to Seattle the following week.
I wonder what sort of crowds they're going to get. I mean, quite interesting.
I'd be more interested in watching the Major League Cricket than the 100. At least they might have cheerleaders or, you know, Hooters might be there or something. Spice it up a bit.
I thought you were going to mention something about women's cricket for maybe then. we could do a preview of that next month. How about any final comments? Anything else that you're really looking forward to seeing this year?
Just some good county cricket, you know, just get to as many games as we can, support them.
Before it gets taken over by a franchise.
The Somerset Super Kings.
Sounds better than the Welsh Firemen.
Johnny, any last word from you?
Well, I mean, obviously we've got the Ashes coming up, which is all very exciting. Hopefully we get some nice weather at the beginning of the county season to allow some folks to put their hands up.
What about you, Fuchs? Are you excited to watch a bit of lady cricket, a bit of Annie Shrubs all running in from the pavilion and at Lords? What are you looking forward to?
Don't know what is the England's summer sort of series looking like. I haven't seen that yet. No, I think she retired, isn't she? Amy Shrubs, unfortunately. No, I'm looking forward to a bit of Dom Sibley, a bit of Ben Compton, a bit of proper English sort of opening batting this season. Good to see. I think for the first game, there's not been too much of the bounce ball taken on by the counties. I think there's a number of players who are just going to carry on batting the way that they used to. And yeah, enjoy this relic while it still exists before everyone puts the pyjamas on and turns to runnable rounders.
Yeah, hear. Don't want to upset the members, do we?
Exactly. Right. Wonderful. Thanks, chaps. See you next month.
Look forward to it. Cheers, mate.
Cheers.